In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. Today's gospel is a very familiar one, and it's also very relatable, especially if you grew up with siblings. When I was a child, my sister and I had chores to do around the house, and I always felt that I got more than my fair share. And I know I wailed to my mother on more than one occasion, "I'm doing everything, make her help." There's a gulf between word and deed in this gospel. We could even say between the contemplative and the activist, the thinker, learner, and the doer. And I think this difference will always be with us, along with the complaints of those who feel they're doing too much while others are coasting. And it's always in comparison, right? Who could not feel for Martha, toiling away to prepare a meal while her sister leisurely enjoys the company of their esteemed guest? I wonder if at any point Mary called out to Martha, "Stop fussing with the food and come listen to Jesus." But Martha was worried and distracted by many things. I get that. Since I was scheduled to speak today, I needed to allot a significant amount of time to homily preparation. And that means that my apartment is especially clean, very organized. Many times when I have work to do, like writing a sermon or something else, work emails, budgets, reports, all that good stuff, I'll suddenly be overcome with a compulsion to vacuum, to dust, and finally clean out that closet. And it can't wait. It must be done. And it must be done now. Seriously, how can you focus on writing anything, especially a homily, with that dust on the top shelf? If I'm keeping busy with something, I feel industrious, and I can avoid tackling the real work I should be doing. And yes, sometimes even prayer must wait, because, well, that refrigerator isn't going to clean itself. So, you know, I have Mary and Martha battling within me, worried and distracted by many things. There's so much that can be taken, read into, even questioned by today's story. One view is to see it as a liberating understanding of women's participation in Christian discipleship. Martha is fulfilling her socially mandated role in preparing the meal. But Mary, sitting and learning at Jesus' feet, that's clearly slipping away from the cultural norms of the time. Jesus, though, obviously approves, showing that his ministry is open in every way to women and men alike. And that's a pretty good thing to take away from this. But there's some more practical things to consider as well. What about the mixed message? Jesus talks a lot about servanthood, and servanthood pretty much means doing, right? We could even argue that our faith demands that we take an active role in caring for others. Our faith often demands work. Now, we could get into a whole discussion of John Calvin and the faith without works argument, but let's save that for another time, you know, maybe when Nate's preaching. Jesus refers to himself as one who serves and has demonstrated that throughout his ministry. Think Maundy Thursday and Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Think about Jesus preparing breakfast on the beach and a lot of other things. And hospitality. We're all about hospitality, and that sometimes means things need to get done. So how can Jesus criticize Martha for offering hospitality and performing the many tasks necessary to accommodate her guest? Aren't these tasks themselves signs of her discipleship? Don't many of us also live our faith, our discipleship, through our work, our actions, and yes, in fact, even through our many tasks? And are being worried and distracted by many things. But Jesus is clearly stating here that Mary chose the better part by not working, not serving, not offering hospitality, not being worried and distracted by many things. So what can we make by Jesus taking Mary's side in this? You know, based on my personal experiences and knowledge and observations, and the fact that Jesus was a human man, I wouldn't be surprised that the minute he finished teaching, he looked up and said, "So what's to eat?" So you see, we do need our Marthas, don't we? But Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. For me, this message is not about absolute choices of serving versus listening, action versus contemplating, but about balance. We often preach on exactly what we need to hear, and I don't know if there's anybody in this building that needed to hear this message more than me. Now, Jesus was good at balance because he would be preaching and things would get a little out of hand or the crowds would be getting to him, and he'll run off to the desert or take the boat out. He even stopped healing people to take time to pray. We all have obligations in our lives and things we have to do, things we can't neglect. But we need to try to live in balance and to recognize when that balance is off. We need to find the balance of attending to the many things and taking the time to just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Balance in our personal lives and balance in our lives of faith. We spend time on Sundays in prayer together. That's a great first step. But do we also spend time on our own to listen to what God may be saying to us? I find I'm often worried and distracted by many things, and it's difficult to break that pattern. Those many things always seem so urgent. Yes, it's easy to empathize with Martha, easy to feel Jesus was too critical of her, except that possibly she allowed herself to be distracted, to be diverted from the blessed time of Jesus' visit, diverted with resentment and frustration. Mary is credited with choosing the better part, as her focus is solely on Jesus. It's possible this tale of two sisters is a reminder to keep our focus on God, even when worried and distracted about many things. One could argue, especially when worried and distracted by many things. What does God need us to know that we're not hearing when we're distracted by these many things? When do our many things prevent us from focusing on what's really important? When do our many things prevent us from choosing the better part? Mary has chosen the better part. We need the wisdom of Mary, the wisdom to cut through our clutter, our many things, and to discern where to focus our energies. It's balance we should be going for. And we begin a pretty good job with balance when we come here to church. We need to come here. We need to take this time for ourselves to connect with one another and with God. This is our time. We've managed to carve it out for ourselves. I always think we should not feel it's an obligation to God to get ourselves to church, but an essential gift to ourselves. We do our work, our lives, our service. We get worried and distracted by many things. Then we come here to feed our souls and renew our spirits through worship. And that in turn strengthens us to deal with the many things. Balance. Harder to do at times, but we also need to make some time outside of our time here to let the worries and distractions go and reconnect with the one thing needed, that good part that Mary chose, the good part that will not be taken away. It's all in the balance. Martha stayed in her comfort zone, Her busyness and worry and distraction and many things gave her the easy excuse to remain there. Mary took the risk to let herself be still and listen to Jesus. I say risk because once you're still and listen, that's when change happens. When we allow the tasks, the busyness, the being worried and distraction about many things to be all-consuming, and yes, they often will be, that's when we need to try. It will be difficult, but we need to try to choose the better part and just stop and give ourselves at least a precious few minutes to sit at the feet of Jesus and just listen, knowing that serving others is living our faith, yet understanding there are times to just sit and listen and to pray, and giving ourselves permission to let go and to choose the better part. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.